Okay, thank you, and thank you for staying to hear about something exotic, maybe. I realized that I used to make communication here related to BT Cotton, and today this is not the case, although BT Cotton is somehow implicit behind the farmers that I'm trying to introduce to you. So this is a job resulting from a cooperation between an agricultural university in Hebei province, which is, and CIRAD, which is a French public-funded research organization mainly devoted to tropical and subtropical areas. Unfortunately, the main author, who is Mrs. Wang, could not afford coming. So I am presenting the communication on our behalf. In the opposite of what Founding has introduced, my communication will be mainly descriptive. You won't have econometrics. Mm-hmm. The ambition is providing you a short description of the current situation in one province, and I hope that through this description you may have some insight about the uncertainty related to farming and cotton production in China. I would not be long about introducing this province. Hebei province is surrounding Beijing in north. It is part of the Yellow River Valley. I would only insist that our results are, come from specific primary data collection through panel survey that we implemented since 2006 till last year, and hopefully is still continuing. Here you have a picture of how cotton production has evolved in Hebei province, which is the third one in China. You can observe maybe the relationship with the commercial release of BT cotton, but you observe also that production is stagnating for several years. In our survey, we could observe that farmers somehow did react to price fluctuations in the sense that around 40% of the farmers did move out cotton when prices fell down too much seriously. But still, there's still a majority of cotton addicts within our samples. Chinese farming is very small, so you have an idea that an average cotton area is around, let's say, 0.4 hectare. You observe in this table something strange in year 2010. This is related to the fact that in our sample we capture something which is ongoing, kind of specialization by a few farmers who succeeded in leasing large amounts of land from those people who are no longer farming, although being allocated of land by government. So these phenomena, I cannot state to how representative it is, may be indicative of what could be the future. Farmers today are around 50 years old. I was about saying that they are old, but it seems that they are younger than the farmers in Texas. According to the presentation I heard previously. But there's a fact of aging of farmers. With reference to the distribution of the age cohorts of the farm heads, we realize that there are much less new entrants in farming than those who are about getting out. So there is the issue of replacing those farmers. Besides, younger farmers who exist come out to be at least not better educated than their uncles. This graphic is representing the frequencies of the farmer's head having attended at least high school level. So this is the case of the younger farmers who are not, okay, I'm representing the farmers, the farm heads, and also their wives. The fact is, the education level of the farming members is much less as compared to those who are not farming, whatever the age cohort is. And considering those who are not farming, what is interesting to notice is that females are catching up, if not having better education level than the male counterparts. This means that these young females, are in a better position to shift out agriculture and implement farm activities. So, regarding farming family, you all have heard about the one child policy in China implemented since the 1980s. And you realize here that in rural areas, this policy is not so much strictly respected. This is not the scoop. Many sociologists in China have already pointed out this case. So you see that more than 60% of the farms did have more than two kids. But these kids are about quitting their parents in living in farms, if not all. It's because of the current ages of the farm heads and of their children. So you see that there are more children living out of the farm than in farms. It is because those children who are living in farms are close to the marriage age. The minimum marriage age is fixed in China. It's 20 for ladies and 22 for men, although in practice it is a little bit earlier. So we can anticipate that more than in more and more farms, farmers will live alone, the husband and the wife, and the sons, in opposition to the traditional customs, instead of staying at home, they will live out, although they may be quite close in the same village. I would not insist so much about the fact that farms are tiny. Farms are having land allocated by the government following the land reform in the 80s, because land have become idle by those people who have moved out farming, so a few people could rent idle land. There are around 40% of farmers who could increase their farm size by renting idle land from their neighbors. So shifting from a total cultivated land of 0.6 hectare to about 1 hectare. We have exactly the same percentage of farmers achieving renting land from others, but for the last years we observe that they succeeded in renting more land than before. So this is somehow in compliance to a more specialization in agriculture that I pointed out earlier. Because farms are so much tiny and the families are not so much small, labor excess is a reality, and of farming is quite frequent, although not systematic, and it's still gender-oriented. For instance, in about 30% of the farms, the farm head work out almost permanently of the farm. But globally, we found that 50% of the farm had at least one member of farming permanently. In addition to this of farming phenomenon, farming is becoming marginal activity to offsprings. Even those who live in farms, they seldom get involved in farming, because maybe this is related to a matter of value. So you see that about 30% of the kids do declare not taking any connection with farming at all. They mainly pay attention to education. So these figures could raise the issue of who will keep on farming in the future. Because of, let's say, the farming sociology that I have pointed out, globally, it comes out to some extent of agricultural feminization, in the sense that females are relatively more involved in farming, and they are representing today about 54% of the permanent labor force in fields. However, this phenomenon of agricultural feminization, which has been analyzed by several colleagues, this phenomenon could be only a transitional one, and that it may not last if, according to this table, indeed, those ladies who are in fields are the oldest one, and that the younger one are less committed. So this phenomenon, we may see less females in field in the next future. But you will keep on seeing them in my research team in China. Thank you for attention.
Thank you, Michelle, very much. Is there any quick question? We got 2 minutes.
Why are there more women staying in the farm than the men?
You see how tiny farms are. Why the economic development in China has enlarged the gap between the income between urban population and rural population. So since the early 1980s, in these tiny farms, many men decided to move out and to get another job in cities, construction, and so on, and then leaving their wives at home and taking charge of farming. That's the main reason. But what those women have accepted, let's say 20 years ago, and particularly because they had a rather low education level, may not be accepted today by this generation of ladies who have achieved high school education level and who could expect getting activities in, let's say, food sector branch.
You know the decline in cotton production in the province. I wondered if you had any information on, my sense is that the land continues to be farmed, it's just simply into something else, and I wondered if there was a move for more fruit vegetable production because of the proximity to Beijing of that farm area.
Indeed, in addition to the curve I show about production, indeed, the same evolution could be observed with regards to area. This means that yield has become somehow stable. And this is something common to in other provinces, even much far from Beijing. So this is a general move indicating that cotton has become less competitive for various reasons. The main reason is it is much more labor intensive, and those ladies who are in their 50s, if not more, have to commit more in taking care of their grandkids. So they have less time in farming. And in this case, they may decide shift or moving out from cotton. And the second main reason is that China, for at least 6 or 7 years, has decided to promote much more grain production and oil production, because China has is very anxious about the threat of not being able to of some self-sufficiency in grain and oil production.